Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
I think a lot of men take a lot of pride in being the provider of the family, right? Maybe there's some power in that also. If you're the one bringing in more money, maybe it plays to a dude's ego. But for most guys, that's a safe place right there, to be the one making the money, right? So when it's challenged and you get into a relationship where a woman is making more than you, some guys feel like it's emasculating, right? So we get this email from a Burt Show listener that is wondering when she should break this news to her boyfriend that she's probably making way more than dude is making.
I think you're going to be surprised by the email because I read it ahead and it's not what you think it is.
Okay. Hmm. All right. So is that what we do in radio?
I mean, I'd like to.
Something new. Read the emails before we're on the air. See, that's why you're sitting on these convention panels now.
You know what?
Cutting edge idea.
And just give me that Marconi now, baby.
Dear Burt Show, help me settle a debate, which turned into an argument with my friends. My friends know that I make pretty good money. However, they can't understand why my boyfriend, who I live with, pays a larger share of our bills, okay? Well, when he convinced me to move in with him, he told me that since he made more, he would pay more for everything. Well, now I do earn more than he does, but that is because I have a second job. It was my hobby and has become pretty profitable. As far as he knows, it's just a hobby, nothing more. He wasn't the least bit supportive of the idea of me turning it. He wasn't the least bit supportive of the idea of me turning it into a business and thought I was being ridiculous. So I just kind of started doing it behind his back. It's not easy. Takes quite a bit of work on top of my regular 9-to-5. So I feel that if he wasn't supportive of me doing this in the first place and didn't think it would make any money, I see no reason why he should benefit from it. Am I wrong? Okay, that is different than what I thought it was going to be. Anybody want in on this early? 1-855-BIRCHO.
Yeah, she's essentially hiding income from her boyfriend. Now, I can't say I don't blame her because he was dismissive of what she wanted to do and didn't give her the proper support. And if you're in a loving relationship, like you're going to be honest, but you're going to be supportive. Like, you know, my husband has no problem like sharing concerns. Like he troubleshoots everything to a fault. And I'm like, can't we just have fun? So he troubleshoots everything, but that's very much the logical side of his brain. And he wants to make sure he covers all bases and thinks of anything that could go wrong. So you know, if that was the case, sure. But then if this is something you're very passionate about and your heart's in it, then the person that you are with who loves you should want to support you. So I don't blame her for hiding this income. At the same time, you have all this extra income and your boyfriend is still paying the same amount and supporting you. It feels like, and I know, Mo, you say this all the time, even though we are the show that are like, two wrongs do make right.
Make good ratings is what we mean.
There you go. Preach. I do feel like two wrongs don't make a right here. And it's not that you're going to shove it in his face, but I think you are forthcoming. If you're going to see longevity in this relationship, then I think you call him out and be like, it would have been really nice for you to have been more supportive. I am making XYZ now, and I think it's only fair that we split the bills evenly.
Sorry, Mo, go ahead.
I agree. I think, I get the pettiness in it. I do, because he didn't support you. I completely get feeling like I don't owe you anything for that reason. But like Kristen said, if you're going to be in a supportive and loving relationship, I don't think that's the way to go about it. I would probably rub it in his face and remind him that you didn't believe in me and look what it's become. But because he was willing to go the extra mile to support you when he had it, I think it's only right that you return that now that you do.
I love when you guys call in early. Hey, Stephanie, thanks for taking the time and calling in.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, where are you standing on this?
All right. So I have a side hustle. I do artwork on the side. I do portraits, and I'm just a local artist out of where I live. And my husband knows about it. And he doesn't make it a point to, like, include it into our, like, household income. Like, he's totally supportive of me doing it as a hobby. He's supportive of it being a full-time job. So I think he should just sit on it. I think you make that money, sit on it.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys this. Does it change the texture of the conversation if this was an OnlyFans page that he morally had an issue with?
Ooh. Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah, for sure. If it's something like, I feel like that's a completely different conversation.
Okay.
And I was going to ask, does it change the conversation if he was the one that had a side hustle? Like, if you put yourself in his shoes, like, would you want to know if there was all this additional income coming in? And, you know, like, it's not that they're just boyfriend, girlfriend. I know they're not married, so, like, things haven't, like, finances haven't intertwined, but you are cohabitating together. You're mm-hmm. living together and you're sharing bills. So there has to be some disclosure of finances. I don't think hiding things from each other is healthy.
I say keep your money secret. I think you need to build up a fund. Somebody like that who doesn't support your hobbies, I think you got to be careful around. Now you know him better. What I would do, though, is insist on paying half. I would say, this is not fair for you to carry me, knowing I'm making the mm-hmm. money, and I would insist on paying half, and then I could feel morally good about he and I splitting the bills, and I've got my own fund in the back that if we get married, then he can know about.
I would respect that a lot if she did that. Just came straight up and said, I'm paying my way now. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. Isn't it infuriating when you had roommates, when you went to go to the fridge, that something you were thinking about eating, like, for 24 hours? Maybe it was Chinese leftovers or whatever, and you're like, oh, craving that. And you go to the fridge, and your roommate ate them.
Ooh.
That's a fight. That's a fight.
Absolutely.
Same thing happens here in the office, right? You have something you want to eat, you go to the fridge, and a coworker is eating it. It's no different than in your house. There you are, craving that one thing. You go to the fridge, it's gone. How can it be rectified? Kristen and Bart have tension over this.
I was so serious about this. I put this in my vows when we got married. I kid you not. I had, like, very sweet vows, and my little jovial punch was like, yes, all that I will love and honor and cherish you unless I come home and you've eaten the last of the ice cream, then all bets are off. That was literally in my wedding vows. So, much to my surprise, as we are 7+ years into this marriage, almost 20 years into this relationship, he should know by now, you don't eat the last of things.
And he's been compliant up until this point.
No, not really.
Okay.
But this was a 1-2-3 punch. And so it was our cold plunge day, and I wanted to treat myself to a sweet treat. So I wanted some dark chocolate covered almonds with sea salt. Mm. I go to get them. They're not there. Mm-mm. And then I was like, well, we have a leftover crumble cookie from yesterday, right? We had cut it up into fourths. There should have been a quarter left of it.
Uh-huh.
That was gone. So I knew what had happened. I knew he had ate them, but I texted him anyway because I wanted him to know that I knew. And I was like, yo, where's the chocolate covered almonds? Where's the cookie? And he's like, I ate them. And I'm like, and then I was like, all right, fine. I don't want to drink during the week, but I still need a treat. So I know there's like half a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc left in the fridge, right? Or maybe not, maybe like a third of a bottle. Fine. I just want a glass of wine. I go and open the fridge. Bottle of wine's gone.
This guy.
Damn. So I know, I'm like, God, what have I been putting him through? That he's been housing. Sweet tweet. Sweet tweet. We need a sweet tweet. Sweet tweet and wine. So, of course, I needed him to know that I knew. So I texted him and I'm like, where's the wine? And he's like, I drank it. And I'm like, don't come home unless you're bringing something. Like, yeah, I don't care if it's the chocolate or if it's the wine. Don't come home unless you're bringing something. So Burr Show listener Rachel sent this to me, and I think she's a genius. And to prevent this from ever happening again in your home, mm-hmm. whether it's with your significant other or if it's with your kids, it's called the goodbye bite, okay? So she emails me, Kristen, listen to the bit about your husband eating all the cookies, wine, and almonds. My husband and I have a goodbye bite policy. If you're about to take the last bite of something, you have to offer the other a goodbye bite before it's all gone.
Mm.
She goes, we've even taught our one-year-old daughter this, LOL.
It's a good policy. Now, you would do that if you were, like, don't you normally do that if you guys are eating together, right, and you're eating off of the same plate? Maybe this falls under chivalry. I don't know. Or maybe it's just polite that if there's only one piece left, you offer it to the other person.
Oh, yeah, I always offer.
Always.
I definitely hope you say no, but I offer.
Right. Yeah, it's shocking when they say no. Right. No, right.
But the good bye-bye applies to, like, if you're pouring the last bit of cereal, right, and there's only a little bit left, you don't take it all, you offer a goodbye bite. If you look in the box of granola bars and there's only one left, you don't take it, you offer the goodbye bite. So we're going to institute the goodbye bite.
What if they're not in the house? You still gotta wait.
You gotta wait.
Oh,
it's the goodbye bite.
But I'm hungry.
No, then find something else if there's two of them.
Is there a way that you can have the bite, but you have to replace it before the other person gets home?
Okay. If you're going to go to the grocery and you want to eat it, and you will have a full box replacement before the other person gets home, I think that's your caveat.
But it has to be the exact food item, right?
Exact.
So if you were going to do this with crumble cookie, you're screwed because they change every week.
If it's not the chocolate chip.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to punch you in your throat.
Doesn't apply. Yes. Okay. There are levels to this.
Yes.
Okay.
The goodbye bite.
Okay.
But if you can replace it, it can be a see you later bite.
Ooh, I like that. I'll see you later.
That's not really goodbye.
As long as there's an end date to it, because if I get home and I haven't been informed about this, if you're saying, okay, I'm going to eat this cookie, but tomorrow I'm going to pick you up a box of those crumble cookies, perfect see you later bite. But if I come home and that text hasn't been sent, it's on.
No, I don't want a text. I'm coming home. I want a cookie. You're not eating it.
What you're talking about is a verbal commitment.
Yes.
Or it's almost a contract.
I need a verbal contract. I want it written down. I want blood stains. Like, we've got to do a handshake. Like, I need to know that I'm getting my sweet tweet at some point.
If my husband texts me, hey, can I have the last bite of the cookie? The answer's always going to be no.
So there's no bothering him freaking texting me.
Got
it. The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Is it bad form to snack on an item, a food item that you're going to buy at the grocery store?
Yes.
It's bad form?
Yes.
So. Now, I mean, if it's like, I think we're going to play this clip and they even use this as the example. If it's like a banana or if it's like a grape where you're paying by the pound, that seems inappropriate to me.
Well, but because you're stealing.
Yeah, because you're stealing.
You can't wait at the end because it's in your belly.
But what if you're like, I don't know, buying chips?
Yeah, I've done that.
Technically, it's not yours till you buy it, right?
Yeah, you haven't paid for it yet.
All right, so that was the question one TikToker was asking the other day as she was checking out. And then the Today Show started discussing if it's appropriate or not.
You're buying grapes. Those are weighed by the pound, so you can't eat those ahead of time. But, you know, a package of sushi that you're going to pay for, a thing of Oreos, whatever you as long as you pay for it.
Do we want to live in a world where we go to the grocery store and people are treating the grocery store aisles like it's some sort of buffet?
63% of Today.com readers said that they would never eat in the grocery store.
Free yourself. Try it once and see how free you are.
I've done this. Yeah, and I did it. I was actually at Target, and I forgot to bring a snack. So I went to his snack aisle, and I got some crackers. I opened the box, and I gave him some. And then we paid for them when we left.
This might make me a hypocrite, but that sounds like an emergency. When you have a hungry two-year-old, but just you're hungry. If you're an adult, you can wait until you pay for the product.
I'm walking down the aisle. There's a protein bar there. All of a sudden, I'm like, I didn't think I was hungry, but I am. And then I just start eating it.
The beginning of Aladdin is all about this. He took an apple and started eating it and then got chased by guards. That's how you know it's wrong.
Kaylee.
Yeah, so I had an ex-girlfriend the one time. Well, actually, it happened a few times. We would go into the grocery store, and she was craving pickle juice. So she went into the pickle aisle, opened up the pickles, and started drinking the juice out of the jar. Yeah.
She paid for the jar, though,
well,
right?
One time she pissed me off. I was like, I ain't paying for that.
Put it back?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Oh, she drank out of the jar and put it back on the shelf?
Well, she made me mad.
That's not even a question. That's actually illegal.
Yeah.
Come get me, okay?
See, no, now you have those buttheads that were going through the frozen food section, licking ice cream and putting it back, and now you've just given the idea for these idiotic TikTokers to go into the pickle aisle and start chugging pickle juice and putting it back.
You're welcome.
They're spitting in iced tea, like the Arizona iced tea, big gallon buckets, too. They're opening them and spitting them.
No.
What? He
No.
Can we have nothing?
No, we can't. We have no nice things because of idiots. All right, so Cassie, talk about the universe working in a, not mysterious, but in a magical way to out this man's infidelity.
This, I could not imagine being this woman. And I can't find the original source of the video for credit, but it's all over TikTok. A woman who is a DoorDash driver went to make a food delivery like normal. And who opens the door? Her husband. And it's not their house.
Could you imagine?
We have the audio.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
You're meant to be in London. This is the business trip. Are you for real? Is this real? Is this a joke? Is this a joke? Adam! Well, say something for God's sake! What are you doing here? Let me see who you are. Who are you?
Adam, what's the shouting?
I'm his missus, is what the shouting is.
What?
I'm his missus. Yes.
Your missus delivery driver.
Are you really doing that? Are you for real? We live together. We live together and have lived together for about 3 years now. And he told me that you were on a business trip. And I'm just kidding. I'm not joking. You have to be with you.
She wants that.
You pig!
You're not sitting here.
Good. You're not coming home.
Where can I go then?
You can go to the gutter where you belong, you filthy pig.
Nice.
She had a comeback like that. I mean, watching that video, here she is just, you know, door dashing like she always does. Hits, you know, she's there at the Ring camera, hits the Ring camera, the door opens, and there's her man standing there in a strange woman's apartment as she's delivering food to that apartment. And that's how he got busted.
The universe wanted him to be caught. Wow, what are the chances?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what are the odds? And then also, he has to be pretty stupid, because if you know your wife does door dashing like as her job or on the side, and if you are in the vicinity of where you live, knowing, and then you and your side chick order food from DoorDash, you kind of deserved it.
Yeah, they got like 4 other competitors. I wouldn't even use DoorDash.
Right?
I would use any of the other people.
Something. Yes. Postmates, Uber Eats.
Any one of them.
I don't know. Walk to a restaurant and get your own damn food. Oh, but that was just...
Well, the audacity when he tries to be like, Mrs. Delivery Driver.
Oh,
come on. What I love, though, is that the quote-unquote side piece immediate was like, you're not staying here. Like, 1,000% immediately believed her and was like, get out. And then he's like, well, where am I going to go? Should have thought about that before you started cheating, saying you were on a business trip to London.
I'm Mo. Are you ready for me to make your life better?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay. All right. So anybody who is an overthinker, like Mo, you are a self-professed overthinker. You have said it numerous times on this show, correct?
I'm like the overthinker of overthinking.
Give us an example of what that might look like. When's the last example of you just completely overthinking a situation where you just couldn't get out of your mind?
I do it every night. I think it's one of the reasons why I don't sleep well ever. Like somebody told me once, you'll never sleep well unless you have peace in your life. That's a part of sleeping well. And I think I never have peace because every night I'm overthinking my entire day. What I said, what I didn't say, how somebody might have taken it. If I should have taken something differently, I'm thinking about things that haven't happened yet. Like, what if it goes this way? I'm constantly in my brain about everything.
How long does this process go on in your head before you fall asleep? I mean, it's part of your routine now.
About 30 minutes, I'd say.
Like,
if I'm exhausted, I'll be sleeping 15 minutes. I'm never sleeping less than 15 minutes.
So let me wrap my head around this for just 1 second, Kristen. The last part of your day, every day, the last 15 minutes before you're supposed to go to sleep, is stressing yourself out about things that happened in that day.
100%.
Whoa!
Either things that happened that day or things that haven't happened yet for the next day. And I try my best to, like, just stop it. Just to completely... I've tried meditating. I've tried different exercises to get me to stop doing it, but it's like impossible to me.
I have to introduce you to my friend Delta 8. he's very kind, and he makes you think less.
Okay.
Okay, that is not my advice, but I saw this post. Credit goes to Business Growth Mentor. And as soon as I read this, I'm like, I have to share this with Mo. It says, overthinking is the biggest cause of unhappiness. It took me 9 years to beat overthinking. Here are the 8 ways you can beat overthinking.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm trying not to overthink it.
The problem is rarely the problem. 99% of the harm is caused in your head by you and your thoughts. 1% of the harm is caused by reality, what actually happens in the outcome. Most of the time, the problem isn't the problem. The way you think about the problem is.
I would agree with that. That's deep. Mm-hmm.
Avoid self-rejection. Don't think you deserve that opportunity? Apply for it anyways. Don't think your article is good enough? Publish it anyways. Don't think they'll reply to your email? Send it anyways. Never overthink yourself into self-rejection.
I don't think that's ever been part of your problem.
I don't think so either.
Somewhat.
Yeah?
Like, I won't put certain songs out, or I'll do videos for my social media and then hate them and then won't put them out. Uh-huh. I do that a lot where I think it's not good enough, so I just won't do anything with it.
Silence and time. The truth is, most problems aren't solved with more thinking. They're solved with less. You'll find most of the answers you're looking for in silence, in time band with a clear mind. If you can't solve a problem, stop trying to.
See, that's funny because I try to avoid silence by any means because that's typically when my mind becomes a playground.
An important question. When you start criticizing yourself for past mistakes or seeing disaster around every corner, ask yourself, is there anything I can do right now to change the past or to positively influence the future? If the answer is yes, do it. Take action. If the answer is no, be at peace. Let it go. You have to take action or let it go. Everything else is self-harm.
I worry about things I can't change all the time. That's an issue.
You gotta let it go. All right. Now, the next one is the power of now. You're not going to overthink your way to a better future. You're not going to overthink your way to a better past. All you have is now. And what you do with now can make right of your past and make good of your future. Make peace with yesterday. Let go of tomorrow. Grab hold of now.
Ooh, let go.
All right. Fact checked your own thoughts. Your thoughts will create scenarios in your mind that reflect your insecurities, fears, and worries. It's important to always fact check your own thoughts before accepting them, because in highly emotional situation, your thoughts will tell you stories that aren't true. Fact check yourself.
That's a big one right there. Yeah, I felt that one.
Acceptance is peace. No amount of anxiety will change your future. No amount of regret will change your past. Peace is found in acceptance. Accept imperfection. Accept uncertainty. Accept the uncontrollable. You don't have to understand, tolerate, or even forget something. But if you want peace, you must accept it.
I want peace so bad.
And then lastly, health starts in your mind. You can go to the gym, you can eat healthy, do yoga, drink water, take vitamins, but if you don't directly confront the negativity in your thoughts, you will never truly be healthy.
Ain't that the truth? Wow.
True health is measured by the quality of our thoughts and the peacefulness of our mind. Health starts in your mind.
That was a fantastic.
Wow.
Very good. Thank you, Crystal.
I will send you the link.
Please do.
So you can, instead of ruminating like you do every night before you go to bed, just read that list.
I need to read it daily. I was just about to say that. I'm going to do that. I'm
you
on
need
it.
To make it into a poster and stick it to the ceiling of your bedroom.
Yes. I do. Remove that mirror you have up there and just put that up there.
Put a little spotlight on it.
The Burt Show.
All right, Kaylee here wants to give some advice to women. Like, if you want your men to be more honest, then there's a strategy behind it, he thinks. And we should also say the disclaimer, Kaylee's comments do not necessarily reflect those of the Burt Show.
Yeah, maybe so. It's probably a good one.
That disclaimer is literally on the front of every true crime podcast I've ever listened to.
Anytime he comes on, we should actually have that produced.
That would actually be cool. I would welcome that.
But it can't be your voice.
Yeah, right.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I've had this, I've noticed this. It's an observation, and, there are some bad dudes out there who lie, steal, cheat, whatever. But I'm talking about the average, you know, decent guy.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is that when you are forthcoming and you do tell the truth, if you're in a relationship or you're dealing with somebody that consistently gives you backlash for whatever it is, and for something stupid.
Describing backlash as conversation?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a way.
Dialogue?
Yeah.
Just dialogue. When she talks and I talk, I don't need that kind of backlash. Yeah.
No, but you know.
You want us just to take the truth and shut up?
Yeah, that'd be damn nice.
when she responds to what I'm saying, that's backlash.
Yes. No, but I think, I mean, at least for dudes, and maybe you ladies have experienced this with a person you've dated. Maybe it's a dude. I'm not saying the roles can't be reversed, but it's like when you tell somebody something, mm-hmm. and then you know in the back of your mind that this could be an issue. It could be as simple as, hey, I'm going to go meet the boys for a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
But if you know that potentially is going to cause a crappy vibe when you get home, you might avoid it by just going, you know what? I'm just going to tell a white lie because I don't want to have to deal with it. And if I can slide that little white lie by her, well, then I don't have to deal with it and she's none the wiser.
Okay. Are you talking from personal experience here?
Well, this isn't currently about my current situation, but I have dated people in the past where, you know, I found myself like, why am I lying about this? But, oh, I know why, because I don't want to deal with her.
Well, you said, I think you raised a really good point there also, is that these are women in your past that didn't fit who you were anyway. So they were forcing you into lying. So what you were looking for was a woman to go, yeah, of course, go out and hang out with your friends. But you didn't pair with somebody like that. So you had to have all these little white lies to squash the tension until you found Aaron, who's like, yeah, I don't even want you in the house.
Well, yeah, but I still, even with my current relationship, at some points, like, I'm not saying I lie, mm-hmm. but I might even question going, wow, okay, I know I'm going to get some backlash when I say this.
If I bring this up, I know there's going to be heat, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm going to come home to the cold shoulder. But this isn't really about me and my current, but it was, I had lunch with a friend who is in a relationship where he's constantly doing that because he doesn't want to deal with the backlash or the bad vibe when he walks in the door. Bert, you've been in relationships throughout your life. Have you ever found yourself going, you know what? I'm probably just not going to just lay it all out here because I just don't want to deal with it.
Not once, Kaylee.
No, you can't do that when I took a sip of coffee.
No, don't even know what you're talking about, bro.
I got your back, bro. I got you. I think I understand what you're trying to say. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've been in situations where I was in a healthy relationship, but I knew if I was being honest with myself, if I would have said, like, I'm going out with my friends. And literally, that's all I'm doing. It's an innocent night out with my friends. If I come back home, it might be a bit of the vibe is going to be off.
Right.
She's not going to be the
cold shoulder. You're
going
to try to get in bed, cuddle, and she'd be like, don't touch me.
So if I make up a lie, like, I got to do this for work. I see what you're saying.
Isn't the classic example like the dudes end up like at a strip club one night? It wasn't intended. You go to a sports club and then some dude goes, you know, it'd be really fun. Let's go to a strip club. So you all go there. Nothing happens except you're tipping, drinking. Yeah, you're looking at naked women. But you know when you walk in the house that it's going to be crap. So you're just like, she's like, what'd you guys do? And you're like, I went to a sports bar. We just got drunk.
No.
Absolutely.
But you omit the strip club.
I actually, believe it or not, I got your back on this one.
Oh, thank you.
I think there are, and it's not even for like that extreme of a situation. No, you're literally doing what you're saying you're doing,
exactly.
Right?
Yes.
But there are some people who like to make things difficult for difficult's sake.
Mm.
And they like to pick fights. They like to make things complicated. And that's just, it's like in their DNA. So rather than come forward with and be forthright with what you're doing, it's easier just to present a little white lie than to have to deal with the nonsense, because it's literally nonsensical why they are making a big deal about something that really honestly shouldn't be a big deal. However, I do want to say the moment you start doing those white lies is the moment you need to start evaluating that relationship, because that's not a relationship you should be in.
Amen.
Absolutely. And then let me just point out that if you get caught in one of those white lies, then it's going to be, oh, if you're going to lie about this, then what else would you lie about? You'll lie about the bigger things.
Or what have you been lying
about? Yeah, right. But at the same time, I guess for my friend, sometimes it's worth rolling that dice. It's worth that gamble.
The Bert Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a parent and you're in that algorithm, man, you can see the videos every single day of parents concerned that we're making our kids soft, right? I've called it the wussification of America for years and years and years. And the intent is good, I think. And it's somewhat natural sometimes where you want to protect your kids as much as possible. You want to make sure that they're not feeling hurt, not feeling pain. But the truth is that when we do that over and over and over again, I believe, my personal opinion is, when you do that over and over again, you make it too easy. You're robbing them of something that they're really going to need in life and throughout really bad times. And that's called grit. We are stealing that from our kids because we're making it too easy for them, right? We're focusing on two videos, one that Mo found and one Kristen found, that have a very similar theme here.
Yeah, this mother seems to agree with you. I saw this video on Dr. Jabre Fouché's Twitter page, and it's a mom who is speaking to having the principal call her about her son playing soccer with the other kids. And basically, her theme here is we need to stop raising soft-ass kids.
Stop raising soft-ass kids, okay? I got a call from my kid's assistant principal today because he and his other friend were playing soccer with this other kid at recess. The other kid happened to want to be the goalie, and apparently he sucked. And so he got really upset because the other boys kept scoring goals on him, and there was no teasing involved. I verified. It was just he was so upset that the kids kept scoring goals that he went to the teacher and cried about it. And my kid and the other kid that were playing soccer like normal children got brought to the principal's office. If you call me during the school day, there better been a fight or a physical injury. Do not call me because some soft ass kid's feelings got hurt because some kid is better than him at sports. What is this world coming to? Prepare your kids to be able to function in the world. Stop coddling your kids, especially your sons, because let me tell you right now, what no woman wants someday is to have to coddle their husband. Stop raising pansy ass kids. Teach your kids how to be confident in themselves and how to emotionally freaking figure their out, and stop with the BS.
Something happened in my nuggets.
My favorite is somebody, whoever like retweeted it or reposted it, was like, she scares me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get on her bad side.
No. I think what she's saying is true, man. I mean, you get a phone call like that from the school. Are you freaking kidding me? And when my kid walked in the house, if he was the one that was crying, we're going to have a talk about like, then get better. You don't cry about that. You don't go to the principal's office. And there are just some time. This is a perfect time to teach them that failing is a good thing. You know, I think I've said this before. Kobe Bryant used to say there's no such thing as failing. There are winning and then there are life lessons. And that's a life lesson.
Yeah. So if we're just going to take what she says for face value, I do find it odd that in this circumstance where kids, you know, feelings were hurt because he's not good at soccer, was a reason to haul the other kids into the principal's office. It seems a little sus, if I do say so myself, but if we're taking it for face value and what she is saying and not knowing the other side of the story, then yeah, I agree with her. Like, the school needs to be able to handle that and handle it accordingly without having to like pull kids into the principal's office and having to call parents. Like, I feel like, again, there wasn't like a physical altercation. There wasn't name calling. There wasn't bullying. I mean, that would be a different level.
I have a hunch and a theory. I think that this generation of parents was raised by real hard-ass parents. So they said to themselves, like, when I'm going to be a parent, I'm not going to feel the way that my parents made me feel. And they've taken it so far the other way that they're raising in a very soft way. And there hasn't been a slow, like, more compassion. It just feels like the pendulum has completely gone the other way.
That's what I think the danger is in being in too much of a hard ass when it comes to parents, because that's how I was raised. I was very much in the I was raised by parents where you were like, you were never right. If you got in a fight at school, it was probably your fault. Rub some dirt in it, mm-hmm. get over it. And to an extent, I do think that that made me the kind of person I am today that's been able to like exist as an adult and like fully function in the world. But then I also think to your point, it creates these people that as adults have to learn what the balance between pushing ourselves and coddling ourselves is. So I think there's some merit to not just being a hard ass all the time, but showing your kid when it's appropriate to be quote unquote coddled, showing that kind of compassion so they don't have to teach themselves as adults.
I mean, what I do appreciate about this current generation of parents, one, how active and hands-on dads are, because they're more active and involved than they've ever been in like the history of parenting. And then two, we are acknowledging our kids' emotions, which I think is really important because I mm-hmm. think for so long, mm-hmm. other generations have dismissed Agreed. Their children's emotions, which I do not think is healthy and leads to adults who don't know how to handle their emotions. So I do appreciate, and I, like you said, that pendulum has swung. There is a common ground here as far as like teaching your kids responsibility and to be capable, et cetera, but also allowing them to emote and to share themselves and not feel like they have to hide anything or they're not allowed to cry or they're not allowed to have these emotions because it's so important. We all experience them. It's not that you're not supposed to have them. You're just supposed to be taught how to deal with them.
Here is Melissa. Good morning, Melissa. You're on the Burt Show. We're talking about parenting and maybe we're making our kids too soft.
Yes. No, I completely like, I literally get calls from the school that are about my son who is 10 years old and he is sticking up for other kids who are being bullied and he's getting in trouble and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's confusing for the kids too because when we say to them, look, if you see bullying and you don't do anything about it, then you're just as guilty. And then here your son is stepping up and then he's getting punished for that also. It's a very mixed message for sure.
I mean, if I got called to the school because my kid did that, I would be in the principal's office, yeah. like in front of the principal, like looking at my kid going, you did the right thing. Mm. When you see somebody being treated poorly or they don't have anybody to stand up for them, mm-hmm. you standing up for, I want you to continue to do that your entire life. You did the right thing. The person in the wrong here is the bully and they need to be taught better.
And here's Kristen finding a video about you just got to stop doing everything for your kids.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got a 3-year-old and I think as a parent, one, your patience is thin. And so you just want to get to places fast. And so you just end up doing a lot of stuff for the kids because mm-hmm. you're taking too long to put your socks and shoes on.
Right.
But this is from Dan Martell on YouTube. And it really was a slap across the face that I need to let Jimmy start being more independent. Otherwise, I'm just going to end up hurting him in the long run.
The amount of parents I see do everything. They go pick up the kids when they're at preschool and they're like doing their shoes and yeah. zipping up their jackets. Right. And they think they do it out of love. They're actually handicapping yep. your kid from being well-adjusted, resourceful yep. young men. Yep. I've never cooked for my kids. I've sat there while they're making eggs, burning toast, and they eventually figured it out themselves. Since they were little babies, I've been very clear. I got this from Shaq. I'm rich. You're not. Yeah. Betty works for me. She does not work for you. When we hired Betty, we were very clear. Huh. You do not pick up their bags. Eggs, clean their rooms, nothing. The world is hard enough. Just allow the world to impact your kids. Your kids will be bullied at school. Your kids will have struggles on their sports team. Let them deal with it.
Ooh, that one hit you, huh?
Yeah, it did. I mean, and again, I think there's a level of empathy and compassion there. Like there's a balance, right? I mean, you can definitely skew one way too far on both sides of that spectrum. But now is a sign for me, like little things. Letting Jimmy take his shoes off. That's like baby steps. I just need to let my son learn how to take his own shoes off.
The Burt Show.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.